begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Opening hymn for this first week in the Christian church here and the first Sunday in Advent is recorded on the inside cover of our worship bulletin. Response. Lord Jesus Christ, as we prepare to celebrate your first coming into this world, help us by faith in you to remain prepared for your second coming, as the scriptures have foretold, while you are also preparing a place for us in your heavenly kingdom. We ask this in your holy name. You will live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. On this first week in Advent, and as we prepare for Christ's coming as that baby in Bethlehem, this year we're going to focus on prophecies. Prophecies about the coming Savior. And we're going to divide it up, the 3 weeks, into the three categories of the books of the Old Testament. This week we're going to focus on the Law of Moses, which are the first five books of the Old Testament. So we're going to begin this evening with the book of Genesis and see one of the prophecies that God gave in regarding to the coming Savior. We read from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And this was given to the first people, Adam and Eve, the parents of the entire world. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring or her seed. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Notice that the Savior that God promised would be a human being, would be born of a woman. The Savior would do battle with the devil. In fact, the word crush is not a pleasant word in regard to what the Lord said and promised and prophesied that the Savior would do to the serpent's head. And he promised that the Savior would win a crushing victory. So with those thoughts in mind, we want to now apply this passage to us as we start this first week of Advent. You know, here we are in the third chapter of the scriptures, and already God has to prophesy a Savior would come. Why? Because things got messed up pretty quickly. Adam and Eve disobeyed the simple command, and now they fell into sin. But although things got messed up very quickly, God stepped in, and he made promises, and he made preparations. And so this first prophecy says that a human being, a human offspring, will do the battle with the devil and utterly defeat him. Now, how well did Adam and Eve do? And you have to ask this because they were the only people, besides Jesus born of Mary, they were the only people ever perfect. How well did they fight the battle against the temptation that the devil put in front of them? They didn't do so well. How well have we fought the battle against the devil and against all the temptations that we have to fight against and are confronted with throughout our lifetime? We haven't done much better than Adam and Eve. And yet, thank God that he stepped in on our behalf and promised and prepared and provided for us one of us. He provided for us one of us, the seed of the woman, the God-man, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who would and could utterly defeat the devil. So with that thought in mind, let us now continue with the next hymn.
Oh,
of Genesis, we turn to Genesis chapter 26, verse 4. And these are promises that were made to Noah, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we read in 26:4, God says, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, or seed, and notice that that word offspring or seed there is singular, it's not plural. He's going to give the land to all his descendants, but now to your offspring, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. So through one offspring of the woman, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And then, to help with the explanation, notice that Genesis 26 took place after the flood. The worldwide flood had brought judgment upon the world and its unbelief. And then shortly after the flood, notice that this promise and other promises exactly like it were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as the Lord had also promised through the line of Noah. Abraham was a descendant of Noah, and you go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Now, when God made this promise to Abraham, that all his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, Abraham didn't have any kids yet. He and his wife hadn't had a single child. Now, could Abraham, by himself, somehow have affected the problem he had of not being able to have any kids? Could he have fixed it himself? And we have to say, absolutely not. In fact, God waited until it was absolutely certain. There was no way physically Abraham and Sarah were going to have a kid. I mean, Abraham was 100 when the child was born, and Sarah was 90. That doesn't happen every day. Only God could take care of that. Now, we just talked about the curse in the hymn. The curse. What was that curse? Well, not only did the Lord remind them of the promise of this coming Savior, Adam and Eve, after they fell into sin, but he also told them about the curse. If you eat of it, you will most certainly die. That curse is not only for temporal death, but for eternal death in hell. And this curse, now, because of the seed of the woman, we could ask ourselves this question. Could we have done anything to affect or fix the curse that is over us from sin being in the world and sin being in our own lives? We couldn't have. Just like Abraham couldn't have fixed or affected the problem of not having any kids. And so now let's go to the next passage, Galatians chapter 3:16. It says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say unto seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, your offspring, meaning one person, who is Christ. We're spiritually blessed because the seed of the woman, singular, the one person, the Savior of the world, would come. And because Christ came, because God fulfilled his word, because God kept his word, you and I have had that curse lifted from us. And even though we may have to go through temporal death, notice how God has turned that punishment into a blessing. It's very true that you can put on those tombstones, rest in peace, because the curse has been removed. And when we die by faith in Christ, the seed of the woman, our souls are in heaven. And God turns the curse into a blessing for us through Jesus. We now continue with the next hymn.
Virgin Son, make here at home on woe.
us that the coming Savior, the coming Messiah, would be a royal king. And this was promised to Judah, one of Jacob's 12 sons, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. We read in Genesis, the closing, the second last chapter of Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. The person who spoke these words was Jacob, father of Joseph. Remember Joseph, robe of many colors, sold into slavery by his brothers, and he ended up down in Egypt. And Jacob now, shortly before his death, speaks prophecy about all 12 of his sons and the 12 tribes, which would become the 12 tribes of Israel. And as Jacob speaks these, he reminds us that the coming Savior would be a king, would absolutely be a king. Now, it's interesting to note that his own son Joseph was second in command of Egypt, but he wasn't the king. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. In fact, for the many years that would follow, and is the people of Israel, from when Jacob and his family came down, they were in Egypt for 450 years, no king. Then when they got to the promised land of Canaan, another 450 years during the time of the judges. So from the time Jacob spoke this prophecy that the coming Savior would be a king, there were no kings of Israel for almost 900 years until the time of Saul and King David and the like. But notice, as we continue this Advent season, what is the prophecy spoken about Jesus shortly before he was going to be born? He will reign on David's throne forever and ever. We now continue with our psalm for the day, taken from Psalm 24, beginning at verse 7. And this is talking about the seed of the woman. We begin by singing the refrain. Exactly what he wanted. And this is after the Israelites had come out of Egypt now. And they were about to go into the promised land of Canaan. And a couple of kings in that area, they didn't want the Israelites to come and settle there. So a king had hired Balaam to curse the Israelites so they wouldn't accomplish. Couldn't and didn't happen. The Lord made sure that all of these promises and preparations that he had been making so that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem, as foretold, that the seed of the woman would come forth, and all these prophecies, now here's Balaam prophesying to this king. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. It's going to be over 1,000 years before that Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And I suppose we could ask ourselves, from the previous passage, we also were reminded that he would be a king. But even today, in our society, in our nation, do we see Jesus as king? Is it very apparent to our eyes that Jesus is ruling and has authority? Or are we tempted to doubt that or wonder about it? Right now, do we trust him as king and that he is ruling? Or are we tempted to doubt that too? Good question. So now we go to the second verse of this part, to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Jesus is the fulfillment of Balaam's prophecy. He is the fulfillment. And because of him, because he's the offspring of David, because he is the bright morning star, look how well it has gone for us. Tonight, you and I heard that our sins are all forgiven, every single one of them. Again, because God kept his word and sent his son, who became this king on our behalf. And his rule is going to be forever. And now he sent his word to help us. So may we trust it and look forward to the fulfillment of the rest of the promises, which haven't happened yet, but will, just as he said. We continue with the hymn. You and I can put our name on that list too. And yet Jesus was sent also as a prophet, bringing us God's word. And interesting thing that as Jesus would come, the prophecy for Moses here says, he will do everything I command him. We see a perfect example in the Garden of Gethsemane. My Father, if it's at all possible, but not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus many times in John's Gospel tells us how he came to obey the Heavenly Father's will, which meant even giving up his life for us on the cross. So here we have our substitute, the seed of the woman, one of us, a fellow human being, who himself alone kept God's word perfectly and obeyed it for us. And let's go to the next passage from Luke chapter 7. Describing Jesus' ministry here. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. Do you notice the first time Jesus came, it was not for judgment. The first time Jesus came, it was not to condemn us, it was to help us. And what a wonderful comfort to us. How do we prepare for God's sending of his son? How do we prepare for this appointed prophet? By ourselves taking time to hear and to listen to our prophet Jesus and his word. The word of salvation. The word of forgiveness. And the word that came to help us. God has come to help his people. We continue with the hymn. Save us all. We continue with our Christmas carol for tonight, O Come All Ye Faithful. Seed of the woman, in order to save us all from our sins. You are Lord God Almighty, yet you became one of us, a descendant of Eve, of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, of David, etc. Help us to marvel at just what you all accomplished and are still doing as our King, our Prophet, and our Priest. Help us to trust in your protection, that you truly rule over all things. Help us take time to hear your word, which saves us, and to find comfort in always in your full payment as priest for all of our sins. Finally, help us all to remain ready for your second coming, where you will rule in power and judge the world and yet bring us and all believers to your heavenly kingdom. We ask this in your holy name, you who have also been taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.